sang that song yesterday, Friday at the funeral at Calvary. It was one of Jerry's favorites. If you have a Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. What a blessed book of the Bible Hebrews is. We will just read one verse, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. The Bible says, "For the word of God is quick, it's alive, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Interesting statement. The word of God, the Bible, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Father, we ask your blessing on your word. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for the truth. Thank you for how you guide us, and lead us, comfort us with the scriptures. And I pray, Lord, you'd speak to us today, help us to learn something today that would help us to be good soldiers, faithful servants. In Jesus' name, amen. That word, intense, we know what thoughts are, the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's literally having the mind strained or bent on an object, fixed on an object. The stretching of the mind towards an object, a design, a purpose, an intention, a meaning, a drift, an aim. And that is what the sense of that verse is. We think of something, the thoughts and intents, and the Bible tells us what our intentions are. It's a fascinating truth, and we'll see that as we get into the scriptures. We are transformed by the renewing of our mind, the Bible tells us in Romans 12. So it's important, our mind. Have you ever asked anybody, "I'll give you a penny for your thoughts," you know? Or, "I'll give you $5 if you keep them," you know? I mean, it can work both ways. There's sad thoughts. Sad thoughts cause us to weep. Happy thoughts cause us to rejoice. Have you ever thought about what you think about? Where your mind goes and the things you think about during the day or maybe at work? Excuse you. And amen. You ever think about sneezing, you know? And that was the thought and then the intent. But all kinds of things like that. And there are negative thinkers and there are positive thinkers. I think the Lord wants us somewhere in the middle, you know, so it's not all one way or the other. But the thoughts and intents of the heart, God's intents are told us in the scripture. And listen to this verse. This is Jeremiah 29:11. He says, "I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace." That's what the Bible says about God. And it says, "and not evil, to give you an expected end." So because this is my thought for you, this is my intention for you. And God works that out. Amen. If God is a gracious God, then he manifests that grace to us. If he's a merciful God, then he manifests that word, that mercy to us. In Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, the Bible says, "As he thinketh in his heart, so is he." So as we think, that comes to pass in our actions, at least many, many times it leads to that. Isaiah 59:7, "Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity." Okay, thoughts of iniquity. And so what does that produce? Wasting and destruction are in their path. That's produced by their thoughts, what you think about. Psalm 94:19, "In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul." So when we're thinking about the goodness of God, it's a delight. Amen? When we're thinking about whatever that's negative, sometimes that takes that joy right out of the room. You know what I mean? Good thoughts, evil thoughts, spiritual thoughts, carnal thoughts, the wisdom of God, the wisdom of the world, they all lead to something. And the Bible is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. That's why we read it, because this is the word of God, and it tells us this is the path to go. Evil communications corrupt good manners, right? But iron sharpeneth iron, and so we can encourage one another. And when you encourage one another, that gets you thinking right. And it, certainly if we use the Bible, that does that. 1 Corinthians 3:19, the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. So if it's the wisdom of the world, not the wisdom of God, it gets us thinking foolishly and then acting foolishly on that. 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. The thoughts of God are made known by the Word of God. Amen? If you're talking to somebody, hey, what are you thinking about? And so they say words that reveal what they're thinking about, unless they're lying to you, right? Or covering something up, which can happen. But God doesn't do that. He doesn't lie. So we know through the Bible, through the Word of God, through the Scriptures, what God is thinking and what he's doing in all of our lives. And so that's how we live our life. That's a blessing. There's many, many verses in the Bible that talk about our mind, words, thoughts, memory, all of those things. And it's all important because that's where the battleground is. It's a battle for our mind. That's what the devil does. He twists the truth of the Word of God. And we'll look at those verses in a minute. In Genesis chapter 3, if you want to turn back there, this is where it all started to go south. Genesis chapter 3. And this is where the serpent deceives or questions the Word of God and deceives Eve. But we're going to read just a few verses here. We'll start in verse 1, Genesis chapter 3. I'm sure you're familiar with this. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? He questioned the Bible. He questioned it. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. She added to the Bible. So the devil questioned the Bible, and Eve adds to the Bible, and it's going to be bad from there. It goes on in verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Then he denied the Word of God. And so you see that going on in the very beginning. And then what happened? Sin entered into the world, and death by sin. For that death passed upon all men, for they all have sinned. That's in the book of Romans. Sin entered the world. That's where it came in. John chapter, I think it's chapter 4, talks about the devil being a liar from the beginning. So here he is. He's denying the Word of God. He's questioning the Word of God. Eve is adding to the Word of God. You have a disaster ready to happen. Amen? When the voices are saying, I don't know if that's true, I think this is it, and corrupting the Word of God, and then we add to it or take away from it, a disaster is going to happen, because as he thinketh in his heart, so is he, and evil communications corrupt the man. Amen? When you go to the Bible, man, I don't understand that. By faith, we know that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. That's a good scripture. Amen? And we go back to Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. No, that's John chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Creation. Amen? And God created something out of nothing. He's the creator. Man, I don't understand that. I don't understand that. How big is the universe? I don't understand that. Well, our God's everlasting to everlasting. I just don't get it. Just believe it, because it's the truth. Amen? And there's all kinds of ideas out there and philosophies out there. An unholy spirit will lead you away from the Bible, and a holy spirit will lead you into the Bible. You know, this is so basic of a message, so basic of a truth, that we have to make much of the Bible. If we don't read it, if we don't memorize it, if it doesn't cleanse our mind and our heart and guide us in our path, we are in trouble, because as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Amen? It's so basic to read and pray. Those are very, very important to us. It says, Matthew chapter 24, it's an attack on the mind. It's an attack on the Bible. Matthew 24:24, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. How could that be? How could that be? When the devil is a roaring lion, I've said this a million times. Maybe that's an exaggeration. Amen. Maybe I've said it 10,000 times. That's probably an exaggeration too. But when the devil is a roaring lion, I see him coming. I know it's the devil. But there's an angel of light too. And that's where the deception was back in the garden. 2 Timothy 3:13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Well, here's what we come down to. Have you ever thought wrong about something? Thought something was the truth and then you found out it wasn't the truth? Or you thought something was wrong and then it was? You can go both ways with that. Isaiah 55:9. Thank God for the Bible. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And God says, and my thoughts than your thoughts. There's God's thoughts and my thoughts. Well, I think I ought to do this. And God says, no, that wouldn't be wise to do that. That ever happened to you? You know, I need some extra cash. I think I'll go rob the bank. You know? And maybe God says to you somehow in the scripture, don't rob the bank. But, I mean, there's all kinds of little ideas like that. And sometimes it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's the flies that get in the ointment of the apothecary and cause it to send forth a stinking savor. Just the little bug, you know, a little leaven, leaven at the whole lump. And, well, that's no big deal, but it could lead somewhere. Amen? Because our thoughts turn to actions. If we think about them enough, that's what we intend to do if we could do that. Very, very important. 2 Peter, and by the way, it says in Romans, let God be true, but every man a liar. 2 Peter 3:16, as also in all his epistles, speaking them in them of these things, in which some things are hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest or twist, as they do also the other scriptures to their own destruction. See the destruction there. Because we twist the scriptures, it can lead to our own destruction. So the thoughts and intents of the heart. 1 Corinthians 10:12. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. I think I'm standing. But you need to go to the scripture to see if you are standing. Standing on the promises. Where does that come from? Well, we know what the promises are, and that's what I'm standing on. Amen? Let him that thinketh, he standeth, take heed lest he fall. You know, you have to be thinking of the right thing. 1 Corinthians 13:5. This is charity. And this is a chapter on love in action. And it says, charity doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Thinketh no evil. There's a thing in the Bible called evil surmisings. And you don't know all the facts, and so you surmise that it's this way. And the Bible says, be careful of that. Be careful of that. Because that can get you in a lot of trouble for sure. Again, it says, Isaiah 55:8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither my ways your ways, saith the Lord. He repeats that twice in the chapter. In Matthew 9:4, the Bible says, and Jesus, knowing their thoughts, right now, he knows all of our thoughts. You say, whoa, I just thought I wish he'd hurry up and be done, you know? And don't focalize it, but the Lord knows your thoughts, amen? And he knows your intents. He says, I know, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? So keep your heart with all diligence. One preacher wrote, watch your thought, for your thought will become your words, and your words will soon be your action. I remember the first sermon that I preached in church. And a long time ago, in a faraway land. And it was entitled, The Devil's LSD. I got it out of the book of James, and LSD is a drug, and it makes people weird, amen, to say the least. But lust, when it hath conceived, bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Lust, sin, death. There's a progression there. And when we think about this verse that we've read and these truths that we're talking about, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. It produces something sooner or later. It sets the sail in a certain direction. Amen? So we have to keep our thoughts in the Word of God, right with the Word of God, or who knows? I mean, every man in the book of Judges did that which was right in his own eyes. It repeats that saying, that's not how we're supposed to live, doing right what we think is right. We're to follow the Lord. Amen? And he's given us a book that we can do that. It's a precious, precious book. James 1:22. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. We have to do what we read in the scripture. How do you fight the devil? Well, I throw books at him. No, you don't throw books at him. He's the prince and power of the air and spiritual wickedness in high places. How do you fight the devil? How did Jesus fight the devil? Matthew chapter 4. It is written. He went to the scripture. He quoted the Bible. Amen? It is written. It is written. It is written. Then the devil leaveth him, and the angels came and ministered unto him. That's how you fight the devil. Ephesians chapter 6. It talks about putting on the whole armor of God. And it talks about the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace, all of those things, the shield of faith. But there's only one offensive weapon. The shield of faith keeps the fiery darts from hitting you. But the only offensive weapon is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Bible, the Word of God. That's how you fight the devil. You can only fight the devil with the Bible. Amen? Because he's going to deny it. He's going to question it. He's going to make you doubt it. He's going to make you add to or take away from it. And if there's no foundation, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? How do you fight the devil? With the Bible. We have besetting sins, and we have weights that so easily beset us too. What do you do there? We need God's word so that we can run the race with patience. Amen? And that's out of Hebrews 2. But we all need the scriptures. If you have a besetting sin, let's say it's, how do you pick one? Whatever yours is. Memorize some Bible verses about it. Amen? Memorize something where when that urge, that thought, the thought's in your mind, an intent. The thought is an intent waiting to happen. And what do you do when that is? You quote the Bible. You quote the Bible, and that's where you get victory over the devil. You can't have victory without the Lord's word. Amen? God fights for us, but he does so with the word. How do you fight the devil? Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. Well, I can't memorize. Do you know the roads to take to get home? Yeah, I got that down. I turn here and I go there. You ever memorize one of those songs about the truck blew up and I lost my job and, all that kind of stuff? And, man, I got that song down. Man, that gives me a lot of pep. That's going down the road music, you know. Amen? And we memorize that. We've memorized some songs. What's a good song? Amazing Grace. We got that down, right? We need to memorize the Bible because the Bible says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. With all diligence, keep your hearts right. Because as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And what is the mouth speaking? What's in the heart? You know that from the scripture. By the words of thy mouth, there's so many verses like this. By the words of thy mouth, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. So I need the word to keep me on the right path. Because if I go down this road, boy, there's going to be trouble. There's going to be trouble. A critical tongue comes from a critical thought. 1 Timothy 6:4. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmising. People surmising. An angry tongue. Nobody here has ever been angry, right? You probably have never experienced this. An angry tongue comes from an angry thought. Remember Jonah? Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh because he didn't want the Ninevites saved because they were the enemies of Israel. But God showed his mercy there. And you know the whole story. That's a great story. But chapter 4, God says to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry? Now God's saying this to Jonah. Doest thou well to be angry? Have you ever been angry and God said that to you? It'd be a good verse to memorize. Amen? Because if you have a temper and you're getting angry, just say, hear God say to you, are you doing well to be angry about this? Amen? And here's the kicker. Jonah said, yeah. Are you kidding? Yeah, I got a right to be angry about this. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And the verses are endless. Amen? But again, it takes us back to the Bible. By the words of thy mouth, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Touchdown. Amen? It's a blessing. A covetous tongue. That comes from covetous thought. Hebrews, in the Ten Commandments, don't covet. But Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. My neighbor just got a new riding lawnmower. Brand spanking new riding lawnmower. It's an enclosed cab with air conditioning. It's got a coffee bar built right in. And he's only got, I mean, half of this auditorium is all the grass he has. He's always turning around in that thing. It's a zero turn. It goes from 0 to 50 miles an hour in 10 seconds. I mean, say whatever you want. I mean, you can fabricate anything, but it's probably happened. And where we saw some, man, I wish I had a lawnmower like that. Man, I got to push more. And you got to pull the cord about 10 times to get it to start. You know, and whatever the circumstance. Or, look, they just got a new Lexus. Amen? He said, I don't like Lexus. I had 5 of them. I didn't like them. Well, amen. But look at the new car they got. It's a brand new Corvette. I remember we went out, my wife and I went out to California to see her sister, and she had an old Corvette, an old one. And she let me take it. Sorry now that she did, but she let me, and we drove up the coast of California. And I remember feeling this. Man, this is living. You know? This is living. I'm just going up right by the ocean and thinking I'm putting myself in that. And then we went to a restaurant and I gave the keys. Somebody parked it for us. You know, it was a fancy restaurant. 2 golden arches, you know. And they drove that away. And I remember walking into that restaurant thinking, he thinks that's my bet. And the Lord says, you dummy, you know. Go back and get your Rambler, your 4-door Rambler, and go home. But, I mean, be content with such things if you have. I have learned in whatsoever state I am, Paul said, to be content. Why? Because if you're not content, you're discontent. How do you know you're discontent? It's what you're thinking. Then what happens? I'm frustrated. How do I get that? I start to covet. I mean, and you just go down the wrong road. Amen? And it starts so small with just a thought, just a seed planted. And pretty soon it's growing, man. And you're looking at other people. And the Bible says not to compare ourselves among ourselves because we're not wise if we do that. And so when you start doing all that, trace it back. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. When sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. What's it in Galatians 6, I think it is. Oh, what's that verse, Richard, that I'm thinking of? Anyway, I'll probably come back to that. I've got all your names. I'll call you this afternoon and tell you where it was. But when it starts, it just keeps on going. So what do? You have to turn that around. If you can't control your thoughts, you're not going to control your spirit. you can't control your spirit, you're not going to be able to control your actions. And those actions can lead to terrible things. With death and life is in the power of the tongue. But it's not just here. It's not just, well, I'm not going to say that. I mean, I can't stand this, but I'm not going to say that. No, you deal with the heart. Amen? Because the thought and the intents of the heart go together. And that's what the Bible deals with. How about forget not all his benefits. That's a good thing to think about, isn't it? And he daily loadeth me with benefits. Well, maybe they're not physical, but maybe they're spiritual. And you can thank God for those. Revelation 5:12, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So in heaven, we're going to have a pure heart, a right heart. That's all we're going to be doing. Nobody in heaven is going to go up to the Lord and say, Lord, why didn't you do this for me? And how come you did it for them? And you're not, there won't be any of that. Amen? We'll just be praising God because all our thoughts are going to be right. James chapter 3 and verse 10, talking about that, the tongue, that's the chapter on the tongue. And the Bible talks about sweet water and bitter water and the same fountain. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. Brethren, these things ought not so to be. It depends on your thinking. I had a preacher friend of mine. He was a missionary in New Guinea for quite a while. And he pastored a church in the States. I won't give you his name or the church name, but he pastored that church, and they got mad at him. This is a good man. He's pastoring today in another place, and a really good man. And he was in a parsonage. They turned the utilities off in the parsonage. They didn't want him to be there anymore, and when he went to the church office to get his books, they had locked him out of the church and changed the lock. I don't think I'd want to pastor a church like that. Amen? But that really happened to him. And I remember one time he was preaching in my church and he said, I went from a hero to a zero, you know? And he was over it, you know, and there was some good that came of all that. But negative, positive thinking. Amen? Crying, laughing. It has to do with thinking. And so we have to be sure that our minds are right with the Lord. He said, let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. The same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. Sometimes it's a blessing, sometimes it's a cursing. Why? It's what you think about. Philippians 4:8, finally he's done. He's done preaching. Finally we can go get Red Coach donuts, right? Finally, I can get another cup of coffee. No, that's not what he's saying. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Wise concerning good, simple concerning evil, right? And all of the verses that go with that. Amen? When you get critical or you get angry or you get covetous, that's a battle going on in your mind. And the devil is fighting against you. And the Lord says, take up the sword. Take up the sword. Fight back. Use the word of God. Say it is written. Because if the devil gets you, lots of terrible decisions can be made at times of trial. Think on these things. Let me give you another, I'm coming to the end here, but kind of focus on this because when we leave here, that's the battle. That's the battle. 2 Corinthians 10:4, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. It goes on and says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Well, I want to say this. I want to do this. Memorize the Bible. And if you're at home and you don't remember what the verse says, but you know where to find it, or you get a concordance out and you look at whatever you're looking for and get that verse. But it says, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Why does he say thought? It's not just what you do out here. If you're a hypocrite or you hide hatred with lying lips, that is never going to help your heart. And the intent is as bad as the deed. The Bible says, I think it's Matthew chapter 5, if a man looks on a woman to lust after her, the same hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. He's thinking about it. You can't do that. You've got to cast that down. Amen? And again, the verses are endless. But why don't we spend more time in the Bible? Why don't we memorize the Bible? Why don't we live the Bible? That's the fight. We don't fight each other. We fight the devil. Amen? And you fight the devil with God's power. It has to be the Bible. Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Turn in your books, your Bibles, to Lamentations. Lamentations. Jeremiah, Lamentations. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. And it's talking about the 70-year captivity. And we're going to Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3. Boy, this is a great chapter. I would encourage you to read it sometime today. But verse 2, he hath led me and brought me into darkness. Verse 5, gall and travail. Verse 8, shutteth out my prayer. Verse 11, he made me desolate. Verse 14, I was a derision to all my people. Verse 15, bitterness. Verse 18, strength and my hope is perished from the Lord, remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. I mean, that is a rough way to go. All of that's going on, bitterness and darkness, and where is God? But then it says this, verse 21, this I recall to my mind. Here's a thought, here's going back. I'm going to see what the Lord says here. This I recall to my mind. Therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. And it goes on, and it's all positive, because he remembered what God had said. He remembered the mercy of God. Sometimes you're in a trial that is so hard and it's dark and you just wonder where God is. This I recall to my mind. This I remember. It's of the Lord's mercies we're not consumed. His mercies are new every morning. Wait till tomorrow. Amen. His faithfulness every night. Get the scripture out. Memorize the Bible. I don't want to beat a dead horse. I want to say something line upon line, precept upon precept, because it must be. Therefore I have hope. Jesus, our example. It is written in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured this cross, despising the shame, is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The joy that was set before him. He went through a trial like no other trial has ever been. He gave his soul a ransom for our sin. He paid the penalty of our sin, the whole world, so that anybody can come to Christ. He did that for the joy that was set before him. He did not enjoy one second of the beating, of the rejection, of the horrible, horrible cross. But he did that for the joy set before him. That's what Jeremiah is saying. Therefore, I have hope, because his mercy is new every morning. Take your Bible and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I just want to read this chapter and we will be done. Fill your mind with the Word of God. The devil is going to come and suggest things, get you thinking wrong, getting you down a wrong path. He's good at that. He's subtle. Amen? He's subtle. The Lord walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. I mean, there was good fellowship. And he was so explicit in his instruction. It was written in chapter 2. And all of a sudden, this deceiver showed up. His subtleness. And the Bible talks about that in the book of Corinthians too. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to read the whole chapter. You follow along as we read it. It's just a powerful, powerful chapter. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Blinded their minds. Blinded their thinking. Darkness. No light. The light of the scriptures. Amen. This is the way. Walk ye in it. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. But the devil puts the light out. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Thy word have I hid in my heart. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. I believe, I'm thinking, that's what I'm saying. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound, contribute, result in the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. We're renewed. We're renewed. The renewing of our mind. Romans chapter 12. The renewing of our mind. It says, the inward man is renewed day by day. You can't just read the Bible on Sunday. You can't do it. You can't just come to church and open your Bible. It's daily. It's the daily Christian life. Paul said, I die daily to myself. And we remember the manna in the Old Testament? I don't want to get off the track too far here, but in John chapter 6, remember, Jesus said, I'm the bread that came down from heaven, the manna. And that was about Exodus, where they didn't have anything to eat. God gave them manna, and they gathered it every day. He's the bread of life. The Bible is the word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I mean, there it is again and again and again, story after story, renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And the last verse. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Read the word. In Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, there's seven churches, and God's instruction to each one of those churches is to have ears to hear what the Spirit says. Thy word is truth, John 17:17, and later in a later chapter, the Bible says, and the Spirit will guide you into all truth. oh, well, I heard this and I heard that. What did you hear God say? It's got to be from Him. It's got to be from His Word. And when it is, He'll keep you on the right path. Amen? He'll keep you from being destroyed. He'll keep you from saying, doing, acting the wrong way. And we all need the Bible to do that. We need His strength. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, help us. Help us. We're so needy. Thank you for your word. You said, search the scriptures. May we do that. You said, hide it in our hearts. May we do that. Your cleanser, the word which I've spoken unto you. May we hear that. Please change our lives for the better because of this message. Help us. Help us in Jesus' name.